Hello, and welcome to the Organizing for Change podcast. The goal of this podcast is to equip coalitions, organizations, and individuals to bring change to their communities. The host of the Organizing for Change podcast is the Coalition Coordinator for Avon, Massachusetts, Amanda Decker. Thank you for listening.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Organizing for Change podcast, where our goal is to equip coalitions, organizations, and individuals to bring change to their community. This episode, I had the opportunity to speak with Dr. Jerry Schultz, who is a professor at the University of Kansas. He holds a PhD in anthropology and an MA in medical anthropology from the University of Kansas. He works primarily with issues involving building capacity of urban neighborhoods to solve local problems, understanding systems change, evaluating community health and development initiatives, and qualitative methodologies. He was part of the Community Toolbox development team, which is a global online resource for community building. His responsibility includes both content and design development for the toolbox. Dr. Schultz has also co-authored numerous articles on evaluation, empowerment, community coalitions, and state agencies. I was really excited to sit down with Dr. Schultz because he had such an instrumental part in creating the toolbox, and I've used it multiple times for our coalition. The toolbox is a free online resource for those working to build healthier communities and bring about social change. It offers thousands of pages of tips and tools for taking action in communities. If you want to learn about community assessment, planning, intervention, evaluation, advocacy, other aspects of community practice, then you should definitely check out the toolbox. There's over 300 educational modules and other free tools located on there. And we'll make sure that we link that in our show notes so you can just click on there, especially if you're driving or whatever. We take the notes for you. So without further ado, here's our conversation with Dr. Jerry Schultz. Well, welcome. We have Dr. Jerry Schultz on the line with us today, and we're so excited that you're here. And we're going to do a little bit of talking about something that you helped to create called the Community Toolbox. So tell us a little bit about the Community Toolbox and what it is.
Great. Thank you for letting me speak to you about the Toolbox. The Toolbox is a website that we've created many years ago, actually, but the toolbox is a kind of a vast resource for resources and tools for building coalitions and community building in general. So it houses an enormous amount of information, and we can talk a little bit about how it's organized and what kind of information is in it. But I believe that it's one of the largest repositories of community building information.
Wow, that's fantastic. Tell me a little bit about how it was created and kind of the reason why behind you guys decided to create it.
Yeah, so I'm with the Work Group for Community Health and Development at the University of Kansas, and we do, our work is providing capacity building for community work, particularly around coalition development. And we're also very interested in understanding how coalitions and partnerships work work successfully to bring about their goals, to meet their goals and objectives. So we've studied coalitions and have worked with coalitions, both building them and studying them over the last couple of decades. And one of the things, and so we've been providing technical assistance and support for coalition building for a long time. But one of the things we've found is that people need, these groups need good information. They need information that is timely and that they can access readily as they need it. And it needs to be information that they can use to in a practical manner. So we over the years have found lots of information. There's a lot of tools out there. There's a lot of resources. They kind of come and go with different grants and different organizations and different agencies. But we really wanted to put all of that information into one place. And I mean, I hate to use the term one-stop shopping, but in essence, that was the idea, was to create kind of one-stop shopping for information and tools and resources about coalition building.
I think that's fantastic. One of the ways that we came across hearing about you is I was looking for some information, some tools for our coalition one day, and I love Google. So I Googled different resources and your toolbox constantly popped up. So I was really excited to come and hear more about you guys when you were at the CADCA Leadership Conference. But there's some amazing tools in the toolbox. I would love to hear what a favorite feature is of yours that's on there.
I think what I like most about the toolbox. Now, there's you know, some great content, and in some ways it's the content, the toolbox is written a bit like a book, but it's not necessarily accessed like a book. But there's chapters and there's sections and things of that sort in the toolbox. But what I like is that it has a couple of features. One of them being what we call the toolkits, which are tools that are focused on specific core competencies for coalition building, and those toolkits are basically outlines of what plans or products related to those core competencies would look like if a community or a coalition worked through the process of developing a sustainability plan, for example, or a strategic an action plan. For me, that's kind of a core feature because it really works to take the user to a practical product place. But all of the rest of the content in the toolbox, and there are hundreds of sections that support the use of those toolkits. So if people want to really kind of understand and take a stab at developing a leadership plan for their coalition, yeah, that's a practical tool. And then there's lots of content available throughout the rest of the toolbox that supports them developing that particular plan.
That's amazing. I know one of the things that I found helpful is you all thought of, you know, every worksheet possible, and there's different samples of different worksheets. So coalitions like ourselves are not reinventing the wheel. And that has been so helpful that somebody else thought of this and put it together. And we weren't the people that had to come up with it and create it all on our own, that there are people that have been doing this longer than us that have great content available for free already. Tell us some of the other practical tools that coalitions and change makers can use so that they're not reinventing the wheel.
Yeah, so without going through the long list of what we call chapters, which are really kind of major topic areas, such as, you know, assessing community needs, communications to promote interest, developing strategic plans, things of that sort. There are a multitude of shorter pieces that are meant to be very practical resources for literally, I think there are 350 kind of activities, what we call them sections, but are kind of activity focused. So it would be how do you develop a vision and how do you develop a mission statement? Things of that sort. But within each of those kind of more fine-grained content pieces, they all have kind of common features and resources. So for example, there's going to be a kind of a general description and information about what these things are, how do you do it, a little bit of a cookbook piece within the sections, you know, why you do it, when you do it, and perhaps challenges and things of that sort, tips along the way. But along with each of the sections, there are what we call checklists. So if you were to kind of work with a group and you were kind of walking your way through this particular activity, there's a checklist of the steps that you would take. So this is, so you can print out the checklist and take that to a meeting or whatever to kind of track how you're doing or how you're doing in implementing that particular activity. There are also associated with each of those pieces PowerPoints. So if you want to get into the training mode, you can utilize the presentations, and of course they're free. You can download them and you can modify and adapt them for your particular community or context. And but those are meant to support, you know, use in the if you're in the training mode with your action committees or your coalitions. So there are a number of those kinds of tools and resources available for each of the topic sections that are in the toolbox.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things about everything that's in the toolbox is it's written in plain words. So sometimes in our field, people can make coalition work really complex. And I love that everything is easy to understand. So if somebody's a beginner, they would be able to understand what you're talking about with the different sections. So it's not as intimidating because really anyone can understand kind of what you put out there. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, it's meant to, we do our best to write for the web, although I would say it's a little denser than you might find on most websites, but there's a lot of content and it's still useful in that sense. So if you want to dig in, you can, but you can also kind of look at the PowerPoint presentations or the checklist, and they kind of give you a very quick snapshot of what the steps are, what the major points are related to these activities. So it offers a variety of there's a variety of ways in which you can access the content and the information.
Sure. So the toolbox has been around for a while now. Tell me some success stories. Tell me some stories about coalitions that were able to use the toolbox and kind of what change they were able to create as a result of being able to use some of these tools.
Yeah, well, there's I think many examples, but I'll just give a kind of a local example of a coalition that is we're near Kansas City, and so this is a kind of a local coalition that's focusing on Latino health. But as it was confronting kind of sustainability issues over time, you know, they were looking for ways to promote or to do more sustainability planning for the coalition. They, they picked up some of the tools from the toolbox and have begun to identify specific strategies, sustainability strategies that they will be implementing or will use for fundraising and finding different ways in which to support some of the activities that they're engaged in. There is on the website many examples of how a partnership or a coalition has used a particular piece within the toolbox. So going back to the sections, there are examples of how some organization has used that particular activity. And I would say not every section, and not, there's not examples for every section because there's a lot of them, but for many, many sections, there are multiple examples of exactly what we're talking about.
Sure. It must be really rewarding to see different coalitions be able to accomplish their goals based on, you know, the materials that you guys were able to put up there.
Yeah, I mean the toolbox. People might think of this as, well, it's just a bucket of tools, which it is, but there is kind of a framework and a I don't want to say a logic model, but there's a framework that this is kind of laid over in terms of what are the steps or the processes that communities need to go through to reach their goals. And so the toolbox content is kind of laid over that particular framework. And that's in some of the earlier sections of the toolbox that some of those models and frameworks are laid out and discussed.
Sure. That kind of brings me to my next question. So I'm listening to this podcast and I'm thinking this sounds like a great resource. Where would you tell somebody to start if they were interested in starting to use the toolbox?
Well, I mean, the what we've done with the toolbox is to try to make it accessible from a variety of different directions, right? So, I mean, if you're a novice, I would look to the models that I was just talking about to kind of get a sense of what's the bigger picture and what are you missing in your work, or what do you want to create, and then, you know, use those framework or model sections to kind of identify the kind of information, the kind of phases or steps that you need to, the community or the coalition needs to engage in to be successful. So, I mean, that's just to kind of build your basic knowledge and understanding of the over what this work looks like. If you're a kind of an active coalition, and, you know, we're all coalitions face different challenges at different points in time. And some of the challenges are, you know, there are many challenges, but I mean, I always think about, well, we never get enough people at our coalition meetings, or we don't have enough people who can make a difference in the community. And there is a feature in the toolbox called the troubleshooting guide. It has a number of different names, but typically it's called the troubleshooting guide. So if you take a look at that particular feature, it presents dilemmas that coalitions face. It's a short list. There are many other, you know, challenges that coalitions face, but it's a short list of what we've found to be very common dilemmas that coalitions face. And so if you kind of respond, find the question or the dilemma that you're facing, for example, we don't have enough participation. Use that dilemma question, that dilemma statement to go into it allows you to go into kind of how do you let me back up. So that dilemma statement is, if it's something that you're facing, you can go into that that feature, and it will basically ask you a series of questions that would be kind of why you're not having participation. So, you know, did people participate in the development of the coalition? Things of that sort that would be related to why participation is a bit limited. And then it would take you to materials and supports for how to, you know, build those aspects of your coalition.
That's awesome. I think that helps too, just for the person to be able to sift through the huge amount of information that's on the site, is to be able to use that troubleshooting just to get some of the basic questions answered. This is a really unique kind of field too, that you know, not everybody thinks this is what I want to do someday. How did you get into all of this? What got you started in Coalition Mark?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, it was the realization that, I mean, I think early on personally, I mean, I worked more one-on-one with individuals in training situations and things of that sort. But, you know, you realize that, you know, working one-on-one with folks is, you know, there's not never enough of you. There's never enough services, things of that sort. So, you know, you start looking at kind of different ways that you can have a greater impact, essentially. So, and that really means working in groups. I mean, and changing communities changing communities. I don't see any other way to do it other than through partnerships and coalitions. It seems to be the logical way in which you can, you know, you can make and have an impact on your community.
So when you just said that you don't see any other way to do that, for somebody who's really new to coalitions, can you elaborate on that a little bit and just?
Well, I mean,
what do you mean?
Yeah,
by that?
Let's take chronic disease or health issues. So, you know, those are you know, our health comes from the circumstances we live in, right? It's related to the circumstances we live in. So these are kind of complex problems, and they're produced by lots of different things in our environment, which, and by the environment, I mean the community. So, you know, I always think about, the case of a, you know, if you're working in substance abuse prevention, you take the teenager walking down the street. I mean, who and what affects that young person as they're living their lives? Mm-hmm. And there's many things that affect them, including their friends, teachers, the local businesses, the condition of the community. You know, there's many, many factors that contribute to a youth picking up the risky behaviors. So in order to make a difference with not just a single youth, but all youth living in a community, you have to change a lot of things in a community. So you have to change a lot of the conditions, you know, and that means working with the teachers, working with neighborhoods, working with, you know, the city government. It means a lot of things have to change to counteract that, what produced, you know, these risks to begin with. And to change a lot of things in a community requires partnerships, requires coalitions, requires many different people working on different aspects of the community to change them so that they're promoting healthy behavior in that particular case.
And I think a common mistake just people in general make is they'll see a problem and they'll immediately think, okay, we're going to do this, that, or the other thing to solve that problem. And the process that you're talking about in the toolbox is so important because it helps really dig down to the real reason why something is happening or not happening. Right. And be able to come up with some logical things to address that rather than just jump into an idea.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, we often think the best solution is what we do. What, you know, if I'm a service provider of some sort, it's my service that's the solution. Well, you know, there's usually no silver, as they say, there's no silver bullet. It takes a lot of different things to happen before you're going to have impact on, you know, large numbers of people.
Mm-hmm. So are you part of a coalition currently, or do you just going to do the technical assistance for coalitions?
Well, I mean, we primarily do, if you're talking about me personally, I mean, I'm involved with neighborhood associations and things of that sort, and have been involved with different coalitions over my life.
Sure.
But mostly we're engaged with providing technical assistance. But I mean, from the work group perspective, you know, we are, when we provide technical assistance, we're also often also, you know, participating in the coalition. It has kind of, it's kind of multi-leveled in that sense.
I think it's kind of neat too, how coalition work kind of morphs into all the other aspects of life too. Like you said, you were part of a neighborhood group, and I'll bet you the information and things that you've learned in the coalition world helps that group as well.
Absolutely, because they're essentially a partnership of some sort of a number of individuals, often neighborhood associations are partnering or bringing in, you know, working with city government, working with businesses, et cetera, to improve the quality of life in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and that's one of the neat things about coalition work is it really can apply to anyone for anything. And I think sometimes, you know, a tool like this, people might see it as just a very specific tool for a very specific problem, but it really, there's so many different things in the toolbox that can apply to just about anything if you're looking to make change, period, in your community.
Yeah, and I mean, the toolbox is intentionally designed to be a kind of a general approach, right? So these are very generalizable activities. Going back to, I don't know how else you do this other than through a lot of this work, other than through coalitions, or how you affect community problems other than through coalitions. You know, it has general application. And so the toolbox has maybe a kind of a generalized feel to it. We try to, you know, through examples and other things, you know, show how it might, a particular activity or a particular task, how that would be applied in a particular, with a particular problem or within a particular setting or in a particular context. But basically, it's presented as kind of a generic approach.
I know when I was listening to you all speak at the CADCA conference, you were talking a lot about just the different things that you do for evaluation. And mm-hmm. can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so the I mean, along with building coalition capacity and promoting community building and coalitions, these organizations and they're a kind of organization, right? They need to have feedback on how they're doing, right? I mean, and they have unique features. I mean, coalitions are typically a bunch of like-minded folks or organizations with a kind of a common goal in mind, but they aren't a company. They're not a corporation. They are kind of loosely affiliated with some kind of what binds them together and leads them forward is their goal, right? Their mission and their goal. But they require a different type of leadership. Their work is carried out in a different way than a company is. It's not as directed as other organizations. So you've got all these kind of folks that are working together periodically. They have other specific work that they're engaged in. But the evaluation that we apply to coalitions is meant to kind of look at what are we all doing? What are all the accomplishments that all the partners are engaging in and producing, and how does that kind of relate to their plan or their goals and or a logic model or whatever they've got that's helping to guide them, and being able to kind of see how much have we moved the needle in a particular sector related to a particular strategy related to a particular problem. So the evaluation is really just documenting. The evaluation approach is really documenting what they're all doing together, so they can kind of take a look at it and say, we're kind of working well in the school sector, but we're not necessarily doing much related to another sector that's important based on how we understand this problem being developed, how this problem develops. So the documentation system and the evaluation approach is meant to just provide that kind of easy to grasp information as feedback on how are we doing, how much have we brought about enough change in a particular place that we could expect to see lots of behavior and lots of behavioral change in the community.
And one of the neat things that feedback does is it really empowers a community to come up with solutions and them to come up with ways to solve the problem rather than some outside group coming in and saying, you need to do this, that, or the other thing. It gives them that aha moment where they say, hey, if we did this or tried this, we could impact that.
Absolutely. I think that kind of feedback, you're right. It is a participatory approach, right? Coalitions need to be kind of documenting what they do and then taking a look at it and using it to answer basic questions like are we doing what we intended? How well are we doing? Are we making enough change to expect to see the problem get better? Things of that sort. It is really a participatory approach, but that feedback also is kind of an integrating thing. I mean, it brings people together. This is what we're doing together, and I think that's really important too.
Yeah, I love seeing that too. It's not just this group's problem or that group's problem. It's everybody's problem, and we're all going to get together to make a difference together. Yeah, that's really awesome. Do you have any last words of advice for any of our listeners out there who are thinking about using the toolbox or getting involved in coalitions, just kind of any great advice that you've learned along the way in coalition work, and what could you say to our audience?
This stuff isn't really kind of taught in school. maybe it's becoming more available through schools and other kinds of educational opportunities. But yeah, a lot of this is learned on the job. But I'd say, you know, you have to kind of go in as a listener. So much of this is about relationships and developing relationships. I think those are kind of key, behaviors to take on as you're getting engaged in this kind of work. It's really about working together with others.
Sure, that's so good. I was thinking of a story when I first started this kind of work. I went to a lot of events that had nothing to do with what I'm trying to do, just to build those relationships so those people got to know who I was. And then when I needed them for something, you know, I had that relationship that I could call that person and say, you know, I've been to your events and they knew who I was. So that's really great advice about building relationships and understanding, you know, you do need everyone in order to make a difference. Well, thank you very much for your time. We really appreciated having you on the air.
Thank you. I really enjoyed the conversation.
For more information from today's podcast, check out our show notes. There you can find our contact information, social media, and website. Please get in touch with us if you have any comments or questions. And if you like today's podcast, please share it with your friends. Thanks for listening.